Thursday night Bible study. It's May 22nd, 2014. I'm Paul A. Baalbek III. We're teaching through the book of Ephesians, and we jumped off at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And Paul talked about blessed be God when, you know, it should do something to us. Today's my birthday, actually, and so I'm doing my favorite thing I like doing is teaching and preaching the Word of God. And also, it is Memorial Day Monday, so we do want to salute all those who have served and protect our country. And then we think of, you know, our freedom was purchased with blood. You know, it didn't come free. Blood, sweat, and tears, and our spiritual freedom also didn't come free. It cost Christ His shed blood. So tonight we're looking at something that He accomplished for us. One of our spiritual blessings we're going to be dealing with: we're delivered from the authority of darkness and translated or transported into Christ's spiritual kingdom. That's wonderful. You know, and my point A I want to make is all fallen, unsaved people are in Satan's kingdom and under his authority by nature and by choice. And they don't even know it. Did you know it when, before you came to Christ, that you're under Satan's domain? Controlled by him, if you want. I'm not talking about possessed. But controlled by him, you know, and the going in the course of this world. Let's go. We're going to look, because we always want to only teach what the Word of God teaches in context. So we're going to look at John 8, 32-37. John 8, 32-37. I'm going to try and use my magic mark here to keep track where I'm at. John 8:32-37. And this is Jesus speaking, and he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You know, we rightly divide the word, because what does God tell us how to study His word? 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we have to rightly divide it, or we can get confused in promises, directions, what God's will and purpose is. But some things are transdispensational, and you have to understand that too. This doesn't change, though. Christ was what? A minister to Israel, right? To the circumcision. So he's teaching them under law. But there's some things, again, that are transdispensational. Not only would they know the truth would make them free. When we know the truth sets us free. Let me keep reading here. If I can get the page turned. And they answered him, this the Jews, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Now I want to stop there just for a sec. This is the pride of man. You know, you tell them they're in bondage to Satan, post it on Facebook. Do you know if you're unsaved, you're under Satan's domain, his kingdom and power, and he's your main influence, and he works through your flesh? They would say, "You're nuts. You're this Jesus freak," you know. Well, that's the pride of man. You know, and Satan blinds man, and as we'll see later, through deception. Now, they're saying they were never in bondage to any man, right? At this time in history, what were the Jews under? Roman authority. Because of pride of man. We ain't been, you know, we're free. We're Abraham's seed. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And I'll stop there too. That's transdispensational. The idea of sin is addicting. People, you know, we want to change words because psychobabble, we were talking about psychobabble earlier. And to take it out of the spiritual realm and the biblical realm, and we want to give it a medical terminology like alcoholism. What's the Bible call it? Drunkenness, right? Sexual addiction. What's it called? Fornication. Or it might be adultery, you know. And now, when you give it a medical term, what do you got to do? Go to the doctor. See? And you know it's a shame? Because sometimes they have to go to shrinks or what they call Christian psychologists that are just Christians that teach secular psychology. It's a shame because a lot of pastors don't have confidence in this word or don't know how to counsel through the word. They don't understand it enough. They don't really divide it. So you sometimes they give wrong counsel. But sin, whether it's in all human history, sin is addicting. You know, if you say, in our minds, our flesh will say, I'm just going to do it one time. And my old pastors go, you get on that sin train, you think you're going to get off at the next stop, you find yourself way, you wonder how I could have, cause God, and Satan's very subtle. Yeah, Satan's subtle like that, you know. So, we don't need to fear God because God punished Christ, right? He's never going to punish us. Otherwise, did Christ suffer our punishment? You know, but we should fear sin. Because sin, so did the flesh, and what happens? You reap from the flesh. So did the spirit, you'll reap from the spirit. There's results, you know. So we never, even under, just because we're under grace, you never want to say, hey, we're under grace, let's go sin. Otherwise, you don't really understand grace. Grace teaches us, it says, to deny ungodliness. And so he's trying to show them something. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. See, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, Jesus said, right? Who's the way, the truth, and the life? Christ, right? If you know the Son, He'll set us free. Satan don't want us to know that. He wants you to think, you know, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. But anyway, Christ has set us free. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. See, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe God, because if they believed God, when Christ came, they would have believed him. Go to verse 44 and 45. Now, these were Jews. They were religious people. See, people think if somebody's religious, you know, they're just, you know, God's impressed with them. You know, they're really. I don't like when people tell me, you know, they'll say, oh yeah, this is Paul, he's real religious. I go, no, I ain't. I hate religion. Religion is man-made traditions. God gave one religion, you know what it was? Judaism. To show that they couldn't do it. We should learn from them. Now listen to what he tells them. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. See, they believe the enemy. They believe the liar. You know, Satan's a great deceiver and our adversary too. Go to Ephesians 2:1-3.
I wish you would have read verse 47. I love that.
What is it?
John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
That's right.
That's to all unbelievers, you know.
Yep. And that sort of goes in the, I'm not going to go off into a Calvinism. It's, you know, where he said, Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men, you know, unto me. And they'll say, well, he chooses some. Well, the ones that he drew, he says, you know, it sounds like the Father picked them, some.
Right.
But those who already were saved, if you want, that believe God, they're the ones who came to Christ. It wasn't God chose some, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you know. But, you know, that's another subject.
You just understand predestination.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Predestination is God predestined believers, not who's going to believe, believers to be holy without blemish, perfect in His sight. So hopefully if any Calvinists are listening, they don't turn it off. I'm sure they'll be able to. I can learn from people I disagree with too. Maybe in some areas, you know. So I hope they'll be mature enough to keep listening. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. This is where we were too before we came to Christ, believers. And this is everyone that's born into this world in Adam. And you He has quickened, that word means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in the spirit of trespasses and sins, wherein in time past. See, always look at that. Time passed, but now, you know, or but God, you know, I love that because sometimes they'll say, you know, that's what you were, but God. Thank God for the but gods, you know, that He intervened. We're dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. So what when you think of course, what do you think of? I think of two different things. One, a course you take in college, right? You're learning. You're getting a way of thinking. So Satan has a course that he'll conform us into this world and that unsaved people are into. And not only that, he got a course for believers that don't rightly divide the word. Mm-hmm. And that just want to pick and choose, you know, all over the Bible where they want to grab things. But also, a course is like a ship on course, right? This world is headed on course to something, you know, and Satan's in control of that. You see it in where now there's coming a lot of bringing all the religions together. You know, after the rapture, there's going to be a one world religion, won't there? There'll be a one world government, you know, and so there's a course, and Satan's, you know, he's the little g god of this world right now. But as we'll see, Christ has defeated him, and God's will come in. So he says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according, so in harmony with, that's an idea, according to the prince of the power of the air. And that could be interpreted the prince of the authority of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. So, unsaved people are under the authority. And that idea it can be interpreted too, authority or power. One who has authority has power. One who has power has authority. So, we were born into that. And we didn't even know. We were blinded, right? Did you know, and what, you know where he works the best in? Religion. He blinds people's eyes the best in religion. They think they can earn, every religion says what? See, Christianity isn't a religion. You know, I don't like when people call it that because it's not. You know, what is Christianity? It's a life. It's a life. Mm-hmm. We're forgiven all of our sins. God declared us righteous once for all, justified, right? That means it happened once and you continue to be justified, right? And then it says justification unto life. So what is salvation? It's spiritual life. Christ's life in us, right now. Okay. And it's Christ expressing His life out of us. As we, in the details of our life, we rightly divide the word and we get the sound doctrine and we apply it in the details of our life. He works in our attitudes, right? And He works through our will. He doesn't overrule it. And what happens? He expresses Himself out of us. That's a joyous Christian life. Now, what does every religion say? They say different things, but it's all the same thing. Do these things and you'll make yourself acceptable to God, or you'll go to heaven. If you don't, you know, these things will happen. That's religion. You know, and what you call today the Christian religion, they do the same thing. They don't believe in justification. They believe, I brought this up before, that Christ died, He was buried, He rose. Rome believes that. Catholicism does. Every denomination, unless they're out of what you would, they would accept as a Christian denomination, they believe Christ was died, buried, and rose again. What don't you hardly have taught? That you're declared righteous once for all, and that's how you stand. Because what do they give you to do? Get baptized, right? Water baptized. Confess your sins over and over. Clean up your act. See, if you're righteous, do you got to clean up yourself? You stand before God. That's our position. We're saints, right? Now, saints that can sin. But if Christ forgave us all of our sins, when we sin, what should we do? Ask Him for some, because it says without shedding the blood, there's no forgiveness. So if we needed more forgiveness, what would He have to do?
More shedding the blood.
Do we want that? Because when you think of that cross, what He went through? No. So what do? We thank Him for it. And instead of asking us, how do I quit sinning, God? It says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill lust of the flesh. So what should we be asking God? Not to forgive us. Thank you, Lord, you forgave us. So now, I'm righteous in your eyes. The Christ became sin for us, right? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We stand before God as righteous as Christ. I know it's hard to believe. But that's how God sees us. So we thank Him. We don't deny when we're walking inconsistent. Thank you, Lord, you died for that. Now I ain't focused on the sin and my failures, and I'm identifying myself by my failures. Now I'm like, thank you, Lord, now teach me to walk in the Spirit that I won't fulfill lust of the flesh. See, that's what He wants to do. He's working in our attitudes. He's trying to produce agape, His type of love in us. But Satan tries to blind not only unbelievers, he tries to blind believers. And we'll get more into that later in the study. To thinking you got to do more things to clean yourself up. You got to go do the ordinances, right? Or traditions or something. You got to perform works. They go to James that he's writing to who? Prophetic saints, messianic saints. Not when I say that I'm talking about the kingdom believers. That's under law. We're not under law. And he says, faith will walk without works is dead. See, and so they say, see, if you ain't doing works, and they use that as motivation instead of grace motivation. And people are doing works, but they're not enjoying it. Busy but barren, I've heard it put. So we see the whole world is under Satan's sway. Okay? Let's go to Luke 11:20-22. And we were there too. If not for Christ. Praise God.
What do you say, 11:22?
Luke 11:20-22. See, we were under Satan's domain. He's the god of this world. It took someone greater than him. See, he don't want believers to know Christ is greater, or unsaved people. Because don't you have these deliverance ministries? You know, instead of you have a problem with some sin in your life. It's not you. You're not accountable. You got the demon of lust, or the demon of overeating, or, you know, fill in the blanks. And so they have these deliverance ministries. casting out of Christians this demon of this and demon of that, demon of anger, and you know what I mean? It's and they got Satan behind every bush. Satan gets blamed for some things he ain't doing. Now, he does work through the flesh, but there's things in our flesh. Don't blame it on Satan, especially as a believer, because Christ broke the power of sin, right? We don't have to give in anything to Satan, as we'll see. He's a defeated foe. But it took someone greater than him. And why I brought that up, because they're more focused on Satan and how great he is, his power, than I'm focused on Christ. See how Satan, he don't care about that, so he's laughing. You know, oh, they think they cast me out. Huh? Really, I cast a spell over them. Luke 11, 20-22. Christ was teaching. But if I, with the thing, because they were saying that he did his miracles by what? The devil, right? Beelzebub. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Well, what was he telling them? Remember, what was that message back then to Israel? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And people will say, where it says, is where Christ said the kingdom of God is within you. That idea, that can be translated within your midst. It was time for that kingdom to come. The king was here. See, so that's what he's talking about here. Remember the context of where he's teaching. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. But when a strong man armed keepeth to his palace, his goods are in peace. See, Satan thought he had it all down. He had corrupted Israel so badly. And you know what? We look back at that and say, how could that happen? Look in the body of Christ today, the corruption. Watch the prosperity message on TV. God will, you know, give you, God will just give you all you want. You always be healed. You never go through problems. You'll be rich. You know? That's corruption. Because what did Paul say? Those who teach that godliness is a means to financial gain are perverted. That's the word, corrupt. They have corrupted minds. So when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he has trusted and divided his spoils. You know why Christ was doing a lot of healings? Well, one thing, it verified his ministry, right? But he was, in the Old Testament, it's prophecy about Christ. I brought this up before. It says, who will contend with me? Christ is calling out Satan. See, Satan is getting more, he's losing his authority. Christ is casting out his boys, his demons, right? He's healing where he could have through sickness. Christ is invading his kingdom. And Satan's getting madder and madder, right? And Christ is just the idea. Who will contend with me? And where to contend end with? The cross. Satan thought, if he could just take him out, that's it. Because he had corrupted in the heavenly realms, right? He's a prince of the power of the air, right? So, if he already corrupted Israel, and their Messiah was their only hope, right? If he could take him out, that's it. Because who's going to fill them heavenly places of authority? He didn't know. God had a secret, a mystery, right? He took Satan at his own craftiness. Satan thought if he could kill Christ, that's it. But did he know God was going to form a new entity, a spiritual entity called the church, the body of Christ, that could live in the heavenlies? At the rapture, we got new bodies to function there? No, see, God showed his wisdom. Satan thought he's so wise, right? And when we understand the mystery, when we're sharing the mystery, when we're living out grace, we make an impact in heavenly places. We remind Satan, we remind his cohorts, that they thought they were so wise, and they weren't. God took them at his own craftiness. Only God is wise. You know? And then he'll try and make us fear. Keep our mouths shut. so we don't share this. See? Now he can throw things, he throws them fiery darts, but he can only do what God allows him to do. And if God allows anything, God works all things to our good. It will all work to our good. We don't have to fear Satan. We have to respect. He has a corrupted wisdom. We're no match for it. That's why you need to know this Word of God. You need to rightly divide it and you need to apply it. Because we do got an enemy, but remember this, he's a defeated foe. I'm going to give you an illustration. And then we'll go to the verses about it. Actually, let me wait on that. Because right now, it took someone greater. Satan thought he was greatest. He thought he had God. He had corrupted the heavens. Now he corrupted the earth. Remember, he corrupted Adam. So now he's prince. He took where Adam was supposed to be king over this world under God. Now Satan takes that, right? He corrupts in the heavenly realm. So Satan thinks, you know, his policy of evil is working. But God had a secret, man, called the mystery, that he would defeat Satan. Satan gave Christ everything he had. Actually, remember Judas? It said Satan entered him. I picture Satan telling his boys, his demons, "This is mine. I got this one." You know? Yet on the cross, Satan gave him, he mauled him with everything he had. Not only physically, it was mentally. Like, have you ever been where you can't think? You just got too many thoughts coming. And I think them are sometimes attacks from, you know, it's spiritual. You know, Satan can't possess believers, but he can outwardly throw stuff at us. That's why we got to take every thought captive. See? And realize we face a defeated foe. See, he wants us to think he's all that. He's defeated. Christ defeated him. And we're in Christ. So it took someone greater than him, than the strong man. Go to Colossians 2:15. There's teaching today that, you know, even Erwin Lutzer, I believe he's the pastor of Moody Bible Institute, or Moody Bible Church, he wrote a book I read, and that Christians can't get possessed, but they can be, what's the word?
Influenced. We can be influenced.
Influenced, no, it's another word they use, can't be possessed, but it's the same idea. They use a different word, but it's the same idea. Satan can get in. No, he can't get in us. Right. He works through our flesh and through thoughts. See, deception. And it's a shame, you know. Even John said, is stronger than he was in the world. Christ purchased us. Satan cannot possess a believer. So all them deliverance ministries are right up Satan's alley, you know. Go to Colossians 2:15 and see what the stronger one did for us. Now, do you remember when Christ talked about going in and spoiling the strong man, a stronger one than him? That idea, spoil, is what? It's like in war. You win the battle and you leave with spoils. Christ spoiled Satan. He's the only one who has authority and preeminence to rule heaven and earth. And he will rule earth through the nation Israel and what? Heaven through us. Look at this, it's just beautiful. In verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them, or show of them, openly triumphing over them. So what did he do? He spoiled. He took back. Satan, what? Took from Adam, right? Satan took from Israel. And in the future, Israel, God will bring beauty from ashes. And he destroyed his power. Now, I want to give you an illustration that I heard. Actually, when I was Pentecostal, but it was a good illustration. You know, a lion, what do you call it? Not a herd. Den of lions. The old toothless lion, you know what he does? He can't hunt anymore. He's old, he's weak, you know, he's ready to fall over, right? You know what he does? He comes behind and roars. And what do the antelope or whatever they're hunting, what's it do? Runs in this direction, right? And then it's usually the female lions that do the hunting, but they get it. He can't do the hunt anymore. You know why? He's toothless now. He can barely chew his meat, right? That's what Christ did to Satan. Satan roars. What's it say? He goes to and fro like a roaring lion, right? He roars. He'll try and scare you. Like, you ever think, if I keep sharing grace and right division, I know I'm going to get attacked. Maybe I should calm down a little bit. That's him roaring. But he can't do anything to us. Like I said, Martin Luther said, he's like on a pit bull on a leash. I don't know if he said pit bull or dog on a leash. Pit bull's a good illustration nowadays. Only what God allows him to do as far as he can go. You know, when you see a lion in a cage, how can he hurt you in a cage? If you get too close, stick your hand in there. See, that's why you don't want to sow to the flesh. See? He can work through our thoughts, lives, our attitudes. And what do you think when, you know, right away, because a lot of time our background or what's taught, you think of what? When Satan's working, the filthy five and the dirty dozen. Think of lust right away almost, right? You know where he works the best? What was his fall?
Pride.
We got a problem with pride. If somebody comes up to you, what if I came up, I'll be nice, I won't mention names, but if I came up to someone today, got in your face and said, you got a problem with pride, you'd be like, who are you? Instead of thinking, do I? See, pride comes up right away. We all have a problem because that's a sin nature. The opposite of love is pride. We think of it as hate, but it's pride, selfishness. Love gives, agape gives, right? Pride looks for what's best for me. So see, that's where he'll work in our attitudes. And especially amid ex-dispensationalism, pride. I know more than they know. You see how smart I am? Are you impressed with my knowledge of right division? I seen on Facebook yesterday some, I don't know if he's a pastor or what, attacking this other guy who's a good grace teacher. I wouldn't agree with every single thing. And he was just like having a good time on it. Just attacking him, like prideful, like I'm the one who's got it. There was another guy, he has some Grace Bible School, and when I talked to him, I disagree with him about the King James only. He's a King James only, not he believes the King James is the best Bible. And I says, I disagree. I've researched it myself and I've come to a different conclusion. But we understand right division, and I think, and he goes, then we ain't got nothing else to talk about. What else we got to talk about? And he was cold and mean, and I'm like, this is grace? You know. We could discuss things, okay? We can disagree. But, you know, this puffed up pride attitude, and that's what God wants to deal with us. But Satan wants to puff us up. See, because love edifies, right? Knowledge alone. God wants us to have knowledge. Doesn't Paul say, don't you know? You know, he wants us to have knowledge of the mystery, but not just puff us up. And so our walk will walk worthy. We'll walk in love. So we can share with others and help them to see the wonderful grace of God. So we see Christ again in Colossians 2:15. He spoiled principalities and powers. He He just ruined them. And when this is preached, it reminds them. They hate it. They hate the message of the mystery. Why do you think it's not taught that much? Why do you think people attack you when you teach grace? Because Satan is a motivating factor against it. Go to Colossians 1:13. Talking about God. Go to 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now I just want to stop there. Remember I've been talking about there's a teaching coming in grace circles about the two heir theory, that we're all heirs of God, and you know, but joint heirs with Christ? No, you have to work. You got to qualify yourself, really. What's that say? Who qualified us? God qualified us. Says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us qualified. That's what the word meet means. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who has delivered. What's the idea of delivered? Rescued us. Yeah, delivered. Us from the power of darkness. Who's that?
Satan.
Right? And remember, one who has authority has power. One who has power has authority. And he rescued us from him and translated or transported us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's a spiritual kingdom. It's not talking about the... There will be an earthly, literal earthly kingdom. You know, they want to spiritualize it and say, oh, we... Because Israel failed God, so God gave it all to the body of Christ. No, no. Read Romans 9:10-11. It says God has temporarily set them aside, and when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, all Israel will be saved. At those actually who go through that tribulation, because the rapture happens, tribulation period, and everyone that's going to enter into that kingdom will be saved. They won't have to take the mark of the Antichrist. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Says we have, we don't get. So we've been delivered from the power of darkness. So remember Flip Wilson? You say, oh, the devil made me do it. Remember that? And we bring that into Christendom. Oh, last week the devil got to me. No, his power's been broke. We don't have to fear him. We have to respect his corrupted wisdom, because like it says, we're no match in IQ. But you get this word of God in you, you get the mind, that's the mind of Christ, right? Then we have the Holy Spirit in us. He's teaching us the mind of Christ, and we don't have to fall for his things. We've been delivered, praise God. So we were, remember in the beginning we went, how we were born in this world, and the one who is greater came, what? And purchased our redemption, freed us from the kingdom of darkness, freed us from Satan. So if you're free, I just thought about this. Remember slavery days, right?
No.
All right, who would forget? Do you know after slavery was illegal? Yeah. Do you know some slaves went back to their masters?
Yeah.
They were free.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they didn't know what to do with their freedom, I think. They were comfortable, you know. Or somebody who's in jail, you think about it, then in bondage. It's terrible jail, you know. And somebody opens up the bars and said, you're free. And they're like institutionalized, you know. They stay. That's crazy, right? Don't you think about that? Well, what about us? We're free from Satan, but yet a lot of times we're letting him just direct us. We know we need to get in this word, right? But what do? We get in. We got all Satan got to do is, hey. And I know, because at times I'm planning on getting into the word, and all of a sudden some other thought comes to my mind. I start doing that, and I say, I'll come back. And then all of a sudden I end up doing this, and like on a Saturday or something, I'm doing that, I'm going, I never got to the Word. You know, we have to sometimes make priorities, you know, that prayer, you know, and that should just be a continued thing all day long. And when you ain't did it, say you didn't do it all day. Say, man, I ain't talked to you all day, God. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. I have that privilege. You're not holding it against me. Now I can start. His line's never busy. So you see, there's no instruction in Paul's epistles on casting out demons today, or that Christians can get possessed. That's an argument from silence. Don't you think if a believer could get possessed and dwelt by Satan or a demon, don't you think that Paul would kind of deal with that? That would be a pretty big thing. You know, Christ dealt with it, you know, in when the kingdom program was going on. So, positionally, we face a defeated foe. What did it say? Christ made an open show of them, right? Spoiled them. Defeated them. So, experientially, Satan is defeated by sound Bible doctrine, by appropriating by faith, that means reckoning what we have in Christ, and applying them instructions. Appropriating means what? You're getting what you got. And how do you do that? Romans 6. God said we die with Christ, right? We were buried. We rose. Paul said, don't you know? So, see, knowledge is not bad, but it's when humanistic knowledge, when you're thinking like the world, religion, and we're going to see how Satan works. And it says, we die with Christ, we are buried, we rose with Him, right? Now God, that's what God said that happened. It's not none you felt when you got saved, did you? Did you feel you died? You were buried, you got cold. I rose, boom, super Christian. No, right? It's something that happened, spiritual things happen. You know how people go, oh, I felt God. They felt chills going up and out. And out. No, you might have been thinking about something about God and your emotions responded to that. But you don't feel spiritual things, you know. You might experience, like when I preach, I experience empowerment to do it. But I mean, if I didn't feel that, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit isn't. Because sometimes you think, I really bumbled that up. Like the pastor told me, I don't know, it was last week or the week before, he goes, I felt like I just couldn't. I go, it was a good message. You know, but sometimes, see, Satan, that's why you need to pray for the pastor, you know, and Bible teachers and our sister in Sunday school, because Satan attacks minds, you know, them doubting darts. How could God love you? Look at the way you act, you know. So, now God says we died, we were buried, we rose. That's something that's a truth. It's a doctrine based on truth. Now what's he say? Reckon yourself. That means count as true. Why do you count as true? Because it is true. God said it. Reckon yourself dead to sin because you died in Adam. You're not in Him no more. That's not you anymore. And what? Present yourself to God. See, so that's what we do. And how do we deal with Satan on a daily basis or demonic forces? Truth. Let's go Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Back up two books. Ephesians 6. I'm going to do this pretty quick because it's just time. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, here's what you usually hear in teaching. Be strong in the Lord. Get out there and live that Christian life. Live a life of holiness. Right? See, what about the other half of that verse? And in the power of His might, not your might. See, we, in our own strength, cannot live the Christian life. That's pride. God, you know, smell my smoke. Watch. I'm committed to you. I'm really going to do it now. Of course, last week I didn't, but this is a new commitment. It says, and in the power of His might. What do you think of might? Power and might. Dunamis, the idea of dynamite. It's Him. See, resurrection life in us. Put it, now, it's His might, but what do we got to do? Put on the whole armor of God, what? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Does it say to go after the devil?
No.
Like these deliverance ministries? Going after the devil. No. To stand, and what? That's all we're supposed to do. Stand on grace. Stand on the grace doctrines that Paul gave us. Stand on our identity. Against what? The wiles. You know what wiles means? Methods. Satan's got methods of the devil. We're going to, in a minute, we're going to look at what them are. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We got to remember that. When people do things to us, Satan can use people. They don't even know. They're like puppets. And if you think of it like that, you realize they're just being used and abused. And he'll use sometimes some of the closest people to you to hurt you. You know? But they're not our enemies. And what's say forgive as you've been forgiven? So we're not flesh and blood. People we're not wrestling, not truly. It's what's behind them. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So look at some of these words. Principalities, powers, rulers, high places, spiritual wickedness. So there's what I'm talking about, them places of authority. There's a governmental, Satan's got a governmental authority in the second heaven. Alright? And that's why they're going to be thrown out. We're going to fill them places of authority. And Satan hates it. The demons hate it. How would you like to be, you thought you were doing pretty good at your job, and they bring in a young person and toss you out. How would you feel about that young person? You know? And how, think of that 1,000 times more. So this is what we wrestle against. But it's not, Paul says our weapons are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, taking every thought captive. See, there's where Satan works. In the thoughts. It's truth against error. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. God has given us armor, spiritual armor. Every believer, the moment we got saved, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What do you think that evil day is? I'll give you my opinion. I haven't really researched it a whole lot. I think it's the evil day is when Satan's really attacking your life. I've had him. And having done all to stand. How do you stand? By faith. Trust in God. When everything's falling apart around you, you stand realizing God's working this for my good. I don't understand how. He said He will. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, how do you stand? Stand therefore, having your loins, that the idea is your waist, girt about with truth. What's that? A belt, right? Mm-hmm. A belt, what? Holds everything up, right? Some of these young guys should wear belts. Some chores that are hanging down. Right? So, there's the belt of what? Truth holds everything up, everything else. Jesus said what? You'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, right? Hello? Come on in. So he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth. So it holds everything else up. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? Justification, I think. Knowing that the moment you trust Him in Christ, it says, we're justified by His blood. That happens once, and you stay that way. That's how God sees you. Not by our behavior. And so knowing that, because Satan will what? Attack your mind when you sin, right? Look at you. God, He'll work through your flesh, and your flesh will give you desire to want it, though we don't have to, because the cross broke the power of sin. But, and then what will happen after you do it? What do you start thinking? Condemnation, right? How could you do that? Right? See how Satan works? So you put on that breastplate of righteousness, realizing you're justified in Christ, not by what we do or don't do. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We should know the Word of God. We should know the gospel. And what is the gospel of peace? Paul's gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. We should know this. Be prepared. Know the Word of God. Know it rightly divided so we know what it is. So what? When there's an opportunity, we can share.
Yes, amen.
To rescue someone else from the kingdom of darkness. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And you know what a shield? There's only two things that aren't attached to the body here. The shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith blocks them fiery, Mary likes calling them doubting darts. Them fiery darts, Satan throws things at us. Might come in different forms for different people because we're all different. But the shield of faith blocks it. And what? Faith is what? Dependence on Christ. It's also that whole doctrine of grace. Paul calls the faith. It blocks it. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And what will that do? Wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Yes.
You see how God's equipped us? Now, if we don't use it, we leave it laying there if you want. Whose fault is it? You know, people go, I tried Christianity. You know, it didn't work. No, you didn't. You don't try Christianity. You trust in Christ. You know, a guy at my work said, I was going to church every night, I think he said, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's this filthy mouth guy now and that. But I says, no, you sound like you trusted in what you were doing. Don't sound like you trusted in what Christ did.
Yeah, that's the problem.
For his justification.
Yep.
And then he says what? Take the helmet of salvation. What does a helmet do?
Protects your head.
Protect your mind, right? Your brain, your mind. Knowing you were saved by grace through faith, not by works, right? That's protection when Satan throws them condemnation, fiery darts at you. That's why it's so important to rightly divide the word, so you can know how we're saved. People were saved at different times. It's always been because of what Christ accomplished. No one will ever be saved from Adam all the way to Revelation, if you want, apart from what Christ did. But they didn't know that back then. When God said, bring animal sacrifices, a believer brought animal sacrifices. You know, Hebrews said God wasn't pleased with them, though they were required. You know? What, doesn't it say repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? That's in the Bible. It's biblical, but it ain't dispensational. See, if you don't understand that, you'll go to a church and they'll read it in the Bible and they'll say, see, baptismal regeneration, right? Build an ark's in the Bible. Why don't we go build an ark? Because, see, you got to say, who's speaking, who are they speaking to? What, you know, today, how are you saved? By grace through faith, not by works. There they weren't saved by their works, but their works were evidence of their faith. Today, you come without no works, so you ain't got no faith. Otherwise, your faith's in you. It's not in Christ. And then God will do works through us, but it's produced out of agape, out of love. That's when you're doing things. I do this, not, you know, I don't get paid for doing this. I do it because I love serving God. Because of what? His grace, right? We share with people because we care about them. They're lost, you know. We share with believers because we want to see them get free and grasping grace, knowing the truth and the truth sets free. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's an offensive weapon. When Satan comes against us, you block. See, in martial arts, I was in them 6 years. You block and you strike. You see? You, what do they say? When Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. Share the mystery, that wisdom of God, with others, and it's going to remind them how they were defeated through a secret that God held. He didn't reveal to the Apostle Paul. It says, otherwise the principalities and powers wouldn't have crucified him. God had a secret. And it was Satan's destruction. God allowed him to carry out his own destruction. This one who thought he could hang with God. And the other thing is, usually most commentaries stop there. I think part of the armor is, the next verse, praying always. Yes. Prayer is a is one of our weapons. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching, therefore, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And then Paul talks about that he might be given boldness to open up his mouth, proclaim the mystery. Now, I'm just going to take a couple more minutes, and I want to show you where Satan works the best today. Go to Colossians 2:8-10. Beware. Paul's given a warning to believers. Believers don't pay attention a lot of times. Beware lest any man spoil you. What's that word mean? Lead away as prey, carry you off as spoil. Remember where it says Christ made an open show of them? He spoiled them. Christ defeated them and took everything they had. Beware lest anyone spoil you through what? Philosophy? See, humanistic thinking. People go, well, I think this is what it means, the Word of God. It don't matter context. Or taking a verse out of context. I like, or people will go, you share with them the Word of God, and they go, I can't deny my experience. See, human philosophy. Feelings, what I see, what I can hear, you know. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Wouldn't psychiatry, humanistic psychiatry and psychology, be human philosophy? And vain deceit. That idea is empty, but it's very deceptive. So Satan uses humanistic philosophy and vain deceit. You watch the prosperity teachers on television. They're very slick. Very deceptive. Take a verse here, take a verse there, take a verse here, everywhere a verse, verse. That's what they do. And so you see philosophy, vain deceit. So Satan used deception. After what? The traditions of men. What is that? Religion. Right? Traditions handed down. Interpretations. You'll get somebody saying, my church been teaching this for 2,000 years. So when does error get truth? Just because it's been handed down and passed on and passed on. Traditions. You know, there's a religion that says the church traditions interpret the Bible, not the Bible interpret the traditions. So he uses religion because it sounds so right. Right?
Relationship.
Yeah, that you've got to do something to justify yourself. Do this. Get water baptized. Confess your sins. Do confirmation. Do the ordinances. Do this. Do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. See, Satan just blinds even believers to that. Instead of justification, you're righteous in God's sight because of Christ. And that's why you don't do some things, and that's why you do other things. You do the right things because you're a child of God, a full-grown child. And what does an adult do? They do the right thing just because it's the right thing. Not to get some from God. You know, Israel, what? If you do this, what it say in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus, when he gave the law, if you do these things, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you. That's what Satan will use today. He'll bring the law saying, you know, to be right in front of God's eyes, gotta have the law. Because look at, keep going in there. The tradition of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And that idea of rudiments, if you get into it, I gotta be closing out, is the idea of bringing a law in. So that's where Satan works best today. Through religion, because it sounds so good. And he blinds people, even believers. And so they, why? Because he can't stop you from getting saved once you're saved. You know that? Once you're saved eternally. But what he can do, now he wants to ruin your testimony.
Yep.
You know? And he wants people not to understand the grace of God, not to rightly divide the word of God, so we can get to what's God's purpose, what's his will, our identity in Christ. So Satan will discredit the message of the mystery, first of all. And then if not, he'll try and discredit us, so nobody wants to hear, if we allow him to do that. Or he'll try and discourage us. But praise God, we can what? Do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I'm going to be ending. Because we are now by grace in Christ's spiritual kingdom, we can live in harmony with God. You know, no matter what our circumstances, God sees us in His Son, holy, without blemish, perfect in His sight. Because we're in Christ. And now we have relationship. We never have to run from God. We don't have to try and avoid Him. You know, when we're walking inconsistent, we go to our Father. And spiritually speaking, if I'm just... The Holy Spirit reminds us, Abba, Father. We get in a spiritual lap and say, Daddy. Just like a little, your little grandchild would say, Grandma, I got into your jewelry. I know I shouldn't have. And you'd go, you know what? That ain't right. But don't you ever forget. Now, I don't want you to do it anymore. Don't you ever forget Grandma loves you. I'll leave that. Get choked up because I think of myself how unworthy. But God can use us because of Christ. And just remember, we face a defeated foe. Keep proclaiming the grace of God, the death, burial, and the resurrection. And get your eyes off yourself, even when you fail. Don't stay focused. Let's get them back on Christ. Because God hasn't changed His mind. He sees you holy, without blemish, perfect in His sight. Let's pray. And then after we pray, our sisters come up and bless us with the song. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, You're so wise. We think of the Apostle Paul, just before he says to offer our bodies in view of Your mercy, of Your loving kindness, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. He started thinking about Your wisdom, how You had set the nation of Israel aside temporarily. And now individual Jews are on the same plane as Gentiles. We all come as sinners. And we come by grace. We have none to offer You, God. and that it was not through their rise but through their fall, that now, just through the death, burial, and the resurrection, we can, by trusting that Christ died in our place as us, in that moment, you take us out of Adam, the fallen human race, out of Satan's domain. He lost a lot, God. You're so wise. Because you kept the secret called the mystery. And you defeated him where he thought he was so wise. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, what you went through on that cross. What it took. That the Father poured his wrath out on you. Satan gave you everything he had. And you loved us so much. That's what kept you there. Nails didn't hold you there. It was your love for us. And you knew that was the only way we could receive spiritual life. To be totally righteous with God. So I pray if there's one listening, Father, maybe they've been on the religion and they've been trying, or maybe they've just been blinded by Satan. I pray today that the light of the gospel, your Holy Spirit, would take it, turn the light on in their spirit, in their mind, and they would trust today, Lord, and be forever saved, and saved unto serving you, God. And I pray for us, Father, that you, just as Paul prayed, for boldness to proclaim this mystery, to proclaim the grace of God. And thank you for the ones who came out, Father. And I pray just when Satan throws them fiery darts, you'll teach us more and more how to pick up that shield, pick up the sword that we've already practiced with by studying your word and rightly dividing it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So our sisters.